Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, who enjoyed the message from Pastor Ken Lee last week on wholeness in relationships? I got to tell you, I had a realization, dude, I've got some work to do on my wholeness in my relationships. But God is good, isn't he? And I want to piggyback that a little bit today, and we're gonna go into this into a similar conversation around wholeness in our relationships. Particular question: you wholeness in all of your relationships, but particularly I want to focus on one relationship which really is at the heart of this, and that's the wholeness of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we're gonna dive into that one. So, have you ever found yourself asking this question? God, why did you make me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is my purpose? What's really going on here? Why did you make me? And straight up, I'm not going to pretend to say that I have all the answers. I can tell you right now, my wife will tell you, I don't. And my kids will tell you that Dad certainly doesn't have all the answers. But what I do know is the Word of God provides answers. The Word of God is a blueprint. The Word of God is where we get insight. The word prayer is that today you will have a deeper grasp and a deeper understanding of what it is to, is that today you will have a deeper grasp and a deeper understanding of what it is to understand the purpose behind why you were made. And so the title of my message today is simply this: why God made me and why God made you. We're going to go right back to the beginning. We're going to go to the book of Genesis. I love the Old Testament. I love going back to where it all started, because where it's all started is really where we get the understanding, and that's where we get the basis of beginning to create building blocks and foundations of what we can call our core theology. Does that make sense? So we're going to go back. We're going to open in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 8, and it says this: when the cool evening breezes were blowing in the garden. You know, it's interesting, in this passage we're presented with a picture of what is in so many ways perfection. This is the perfect garden, the perfect environment, the perfect situation that God has created, and he wants to come down in the perfect moment in the day, the cool of the evening, and he wants to spend time with his creation. Think about it. You've gone through your day and he says and comes and says, how was your day? Talk to me. Tell me what's been happening throughout the day. I want to hear what's been happening in your day. He comes in that perfect moment, that beautiful time when the cool breeze is blowing. Who enjoys when the Fremantle Docker comes in the afternoon when it's been a warm day? Those cool breezes come in. That's the time of day that we can picture from this, that God says, I want to come when it's the nice part of the day. And situation. So that there would be nothing to be with his creation, to have a relationship with us, that there would be nothing that could get in the way, nothing that could hold us back from having that perfect relationship with God. But even more, there's actually an expression of that relationship that he is actually perfectly built into and created within the DNA of humanity. And that expression is between the creator and the created. But it's when this expression is misdirected that it has the potential to not only derail man's relationship with God, but the potential to derail all of our relationships, and particularly our human relationships. But what is it? What is that expression? It's the expression. Today I want to speak to you and ask you this simple question. Today I want to speak to you and ask you this simple question. Who is the first worship leader, the first worshiper in Scripture? Where is worship first brought back to the very beginning? Who is the one who is the worship leader? And we're going to have a bit of a teaching message. I've got to tell you, there's a lot of Scripture to go through. So hold on. We're going to get there. I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey. We'll see how we go. I really want to get your thinking caps on. So lean in. Be ready to receive what God's got for you. We're going to go right back. See, the best part about going right back to the beginning is, again, it's the law of first mention. When we hear something mentioned for the first time, that's our ability to build a foundation upon, and that's where we're able to launch from and have an understanding of why. So we're going to do that with worship. So the first worshiper in the Bible is actually one of the significance of worship and the effect it has on our relationships. You see, there are three archangels in the Bible. There's Lucifer, as we talked about. He represents worship. There's Michael. He represents prayer. You read about him in the book of Daniel. Daniel goes on a 21-day fast, and of course, he is hindered in being able to answer that prayer. But at the moment that the prayer was actually presented to heaven, Michael was on his way. So Michael is representative of prayer. Okay, then we've got Gabriel. Now, Gabriel's the one who comes to Mary and says, behold, you're going to bear a child. He will be the savior of the world. In fact, and see, Gabriel represents the word, but in fact, he represents the very spoken word, the one who was going to be birthed within Mary in that moment, right? So that's actually quite amazing too. So the three angels, word, worship, and prayer, need to be happening at one time. So let's dive into some scripture so that we can actually build a bit more of a picture. We're going to look at a lot of it today, but I need you to hang with me. Now, we're going to be looking at a little bit of the makeup. So come with me. We're going to understand and get a bit of a picture of who this Lucifer was. So when we read this scripture, I need you to have in mind who we're talking about. When it mentions he, we're talking about him in that moment. All right, so you ready? Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, and it says this. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. Now we read here that Lucifer was expelled from heaven, and note the use of the words like low, fallen, and cast down. But the question is, why was he expelled? What actually happened? What? We look into verse 13 of the same scripture, and it says this, out of heaven. Well, we look into verse 13 of the same scripture, and it says this, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Wow. Lucifer resents God in his heart, and he says, I resent the fact that you get all the worship. I want the worship. I want to receive all the worship. And he wants to put himself higher than God. In fact, he says, I want to be the Most High. And it was his pride that actually got in the way. See, he's redirected worship from its original and ultimate purpose, and he's still doing it today. He's still doing it today. His goal is to get your attention and all the attention of worship off everything that it should be, which is God, and get it redirected to anything but God. That is the goal of Lucifer. That is the goal of Satan. He wants to redirect all worship. I need you to catch this. This is why worship and whom we worship is so important. You see, whenever we take the attention of our worship away from its in Satan, and you take the worship away from its intended purpose, you actually give him the power to achieve his goal, which is to take it off God. His constant goal is to get our intended worship off anything else but God. Can we go a little bit deeper? I need to speak into this. We're going to look at a bit of the description around the embodiment of who Lucifer actually was. We're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. It says this, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Wow. If you ever think about that when you're talking about Lucifer? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. I love lapis lazuli. I love that word. It's actually a really beautiful gem. It's a beautiful blue, like an iridescent, bright blue, almost like your shirt. It's this, and it's actually found in the mountains of Afghanistan, just for a little side note. I actually looked into that. It's interesting. Now, it's actually really interesting to note that Lucifer was actually originally a picture of beauty. Wow. He was actually something to behold. He was attractive. Let's set it aside. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. Again, another descriptive example of what he looks like. Ezekiel chapter 28. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. Now, the NKJV actually translates settings and mountings as timbrels and pipes. All right, important to understand that. Now, it would be safe to say, if I were to get up here and try and give you a music lesson, I really don't have the authority to do so. I actually don't have a musical bone in my body, right? Unlike our senior pastor, Pastor Kenley, who I'm very jealous of, who can play every instrument and has a voice of an angel, you don't want to hear me sing, all right? But there are some things I do know about music, right? And when it comes to musical within an orchestra, the string, the percussion, and the wind, of course, being the brass and the woodwind. Lucifer, Satan, he had all three. Wow. Did you catch that? In his creating being, as the leader of worship, he contained all three elements, as well as every type of jewel and adornment. Wow. But let's have a final look at the package. Ezekiel 28, verse 14. You were anointed, catch that, as the guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. Wow. Not only did he have all the elements, string, percussion, and wind, but he was anointed. When he did stuff, things happened. When music was created in heaven, prior to his fall, it moved. I mean, have you ever been in a worship service? How good was the worship tonight? Yeah. When you're in a worship service, things move. Yeah. Music was designed to move your heart, not for an emotive response, but for a worshipful response. Yeah. Music is designed to actually invoke worship. Yeah. That's why it was embodied in the worship leader, Lucifer. It's really important you understand that. He was equipped by God for the task. When he did it, it made shaped by music. Think about it. You know, when think about it. You know, when classical music first came out many centuries ago, you know what they used to say? It's of the devil. Really? But of course now we switch it. See, every time a music shift comes in, it's a cultural shift and it changes. It can separate and change society. Really interesting to note. Anyway, that's just a little side thought. I thought I'd give you that. Lucifer is still using music today to serve his agenda, to get our attention off God. All right? Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper. Again, Ezekiel 28, you were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless, oh, catch that, in your ways from the day you were created to wickedness. Musical trade. He used his trade, his anointing, and he redirected what was belonging to God, and he directed it upon himself. His pride was his fall. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful. Look at me. You don't deserve it, God. I want the glory. I want to be the Most High. So come on, worship me. That was the goal of Lucifer. Get it off God. Get it on anything else. That's the way he did it. So the focus of worship, that it could be redirected, is the key that we need to understand here. We need to get our attention back on God. So what happened as a result of him doing this? Well, we read on in Ezekiel chapter 28 again, verses 16 and 17. So I drove you in disgrace, wow, from the mountain of God. I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And he had corrupted the true measure, the true purpose of worship. He was created for a beautiful purpose, for orchestral, orchestrating and bringing worship before God, but his pride became his own destruction. And now his goal is to get us to follow the same path. The goal is to get us to follow the same path. Now, stay with me. This is going somewhere. Now that we have an understanding of what Lucifer was, here comes the cool part. I don't know if you picked up on the whole thing there. He was the worship leader in heaven. He's been kicked out of heaven. What does that mean? There's a vacancy in heaven. There is a position that needs filling. Okay. But now that there's a vacancy, you and me, we were created for worship. You and I are the replacement worship leaders. I need you to catch this. You see, everything that God created within Lucifer, everything that he put on him, he has actually put in us. This is the really cool part. We have all of the three instruments based in our bodies. You have string. Do you realize that you have string within your body? What are your vocal cords? They are strings that vibrate within your mouth. You have built within you a stringed instrument that can give praise to God. Come on, you have wind. What are these things in here? Lungs, come on, take a deep breath. Come on, that's where it is. You've been built with lungs. You have a woodwind. You have brass. You have the ability to give praise. Come on. And what's the last one? You ready? You've got all been anointed. You've been equipped. You've been given the anointing to bring worship to God. It is, honestly, you're equipped for worship. People, people, we are equipped for worship. Every part of us was designed to worship God. You and I, we are the replacement worship leaders. I need you to understand that. So what does all this mean? Here's the thing. How does this answer why God made me? And what on earth does this have to do with wholeness in relationships? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. If in case you weren't going to, let me show you three truths that you need to grasp. Here's the first one. God made me from Him. God made me from Him. You see, we were made from Him. See, God, there's a distinction. It's very slight, but I need you to capture this. It's really important. Again, we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. Let's understand and go back to the creation story. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." He made light out of nothing. Right? He created light. It is produced out of nothing. But if we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says this, "And God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land." So what's the difference? What's the distinction? God wanted there to be a relationship between something that was made. Capture this. The earth produces trees. They came from the earth. They're sustained by the earth, and they will return to the earth. You were made by God. You were made from God. You will be sustained by God. And you can say to me, but my body is just going to go back to the earth. I'm made from dust. Yes, your body is, but your spirit, your spirit came from God. It was made from God, and you are made to be with God, and you will be sustained by God, and you are going to return to God. Your spirit is made for worship. Wow. There's a connection. It's a relationship. God wants you to understand the reason that you were made from Him is because He wants relationship with you. There has to be a relationship with the fact that you've been made by Him. So important you understand that. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, across and put a created being." You're an image bearer of God. You are made from Him. We came from God. You are going to be sustained by God, and you will return to God. So it's very important that we understand the very minute that you decide to do it on your own, the very minute that you decide, "I don't need that relationship," that's the beginning of your spiritual death. Because you're no longer connected. That's the relationship breakdown. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why it's so important that we stay close to God. There is so important you stay close to God, because when we understand that we are made from God, it personalizes the relationship. It brings it back to, "I came from God." Oh, I came from God. I didn't come from some. I'm an image. And this is why it is so important. See, it leads to our second truth. I came from God, and God made me to be with Him. Yeah. Did you catch that? Yeah. It's about relationship. The very reason why we were made from Him is so that we could have relationship with Him. Cast back to Genesis chapter 3, our opening scripture. In the cool of the evening, the Lord came and walked in the garden. Why? Because He wants to be with you. You are designed to have relationship with Him. He wants to be in your presence. He wants you to be in His presence. Come on. He wants to be with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to know you. He loves you. You were designed to be with Him. Can I tell you, God never intended that this was supposed to be a religious experience. He wants relationship. It's not about coming and doing a whole set of rules and doing all that stuff with Him. Your presence, and He just, relationship is all about. In His presence. That's what relationship is all about. And out of that relationship, that we would fix our attention on Him. He wants and deeply desires our attention and our affection in the same way that He shows His affection toward us. Let me show you in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, it says this, For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, this is a beautiful picture of intimacy. The most pure relationship that exists in humanity, that a man and woman would cleave together and become one flesh. This is an intimate relationship. But here's the catch. Verse 32, following on, straight from that previous verse. But mystery. Yes, marriage is a profound mystery, I can assure you. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Come on. He wants that intimate relationship with you. He wants that. God is saying, you see that honeymoon relationship? You see that beautiful intimate relationship that you see between a man and a woman? I want that with you. I want that with you. I want that worship relationship with you. I want that exclusive first place in your life. God wants the relationship with us. Why do you think we're known as the bride of Christ? Come on. Come on. Can I go a little deeper? Think about this. You were made from him to be with him. And when you get to heaven as his bride, this is the bit that gets me, right? Have a look at the death. One said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out from God, out of heaven. So Jesus now has his bride. He's got us in that place, and he's actually showing us off and showing off what he wants to give us, what he wants to give his bride. He wants the bridegroom to come in, and he goes, by the way, I've got a present for you. Are you ready for the present? Here we go. Verse 19 and 20. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, ruby, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, turquoise, jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Come on. Look at what he's done to the house and the place that he wants to give you, right? See, what Satan misused, God says, you know what? I'll take that and I'll give it to my bride. He wants to ordain and ornately decorate the house that you get with the very jewels that were given to the worship director, because he says, you're the worship director now. You're the new worship leader, so I'm going to give you something that's beautiful. Come on. He does him to be with him because he wants, you were made from him to be with him because he wants to lavish upon you. He wants to give his bride a beautiful present. God loves you so much. And he's just so in love with you. He adores you. Are you ready for the third point? You're made from him. You're made to be with him. And the third truth is this. God made you to express love to him. Wow. He is drawing us to love him in return. All he wants back from us is his love, is our love. This is how simple it is. This is how simple the Christian life is. Love God. It looks, seriously, it's not hard, right? This is what you were made to do, to love him. And how do we do this? By worshiping him. Jesus tells us this way in John chapter 4. Yet a time is coming and has now come when he's talking to the woman of the well, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. But it's really important that you understand the translation of the word worship, because it's not just that whole thing of, oh, wonderful, being in your presence, God. Yeah, that's really cool. There's a real emphasis behind the word worship here, and I need you to capture the translation. Now, the word's going to come up on the screen. You can't read it, so I'm going to read it for you. It says here, proskuneo. That's how you pronounce this word. Now, proskuneo is a very specific term about worship. Now, it actually refers to the homage of being on bended knee and kissing the hand of the master. Wow. It's a beautiful picture, but it goes deeper. Now, if any of you have a dog, you would understand what it's like when you come home from work. It's like the dog's never seen you before, isn't it? Yeah, you get to the door and there's a the dog's going berserk, right? He just can't wait to master's hand that's actually catch that when the word proskuneo. Did you catch that? It is the same emphasis. God is saying, would you be like the dog that sees me every time with that wonder that says, I've just seen you for the first time? He's like Doug that goes, I've just met you and I love you. You know, it's that whole thing. I can't wait to be in your presence. Do you know, I've come home and I've gone to the door and there's my dog and I shut the blinds because I'm like, I can't deal with you right now. But what does he do? He runs to the other door hoping I'm going to be at that one because he can't wait to see me. This is the sort of worship that the Father is seeking, that you would be so in awe of who he is that, and I can't wait to be in your presence. Can I come and kiss your hand? Please, can I be in your presence? That's the worship that God's looking for. Wow, he is searching for, yearning for his children, his creation to worship and adore him, that we would come before him like that. And he asks us to love him and to worship him. This is what you were designed to do. But here's the juncture. Here's the bit, here's the sticky point. Here's the bit where it can all go pear-shaped as the musicians join me. You see, you were made from him. You were made to be with him and to simply express love to him. You were made to worship and for worship. But here's the problem. When the object of our worship is not directed toward God, our relationship with him is broken. When our worship is directed away from its intended purpose, it severs the intimacy that was always intended to remain between the created and the create, the creator and the created. And there are so many things that can capture our worship and our devotion. Could it be our work? Could it be our hobbies? Could it be our wife? Could it be our husband? Could it be our children? It could be so many things. In fact, when we place worship at the core of our human relationships, not only do we dismantle the intimacy and the wholeness that was always intended to remain in God, we also commence the destruction of the relationship we are trying so desperately to build upon. Bind between humans in their relationship, is when we make the other person the object of worship. Let me explain. You see, worship comes from a posture and an act of homage to something or someone that is greater than us. It is purposed for a greater power. And when you place homage and worship and adoration to a human being who is equally created like you, you place them in a godly status, and that you unfairly place a burden and a restriction on them that they will never ever be able to sustain you. Human relationships were never designed for wellness of our role. But the problem is we misdirect it. I've done this. I've been watching as my kids do things and I go, oh man, if I can just redirect them and you know what, the things that I missed out on when I was a kid, if I can live it out through my kids and I can make them do so much better, they can go to high heights. That's a worship process. And I unfairly place pressure on my kids that they were never designed to carry. You and I were never designed to receive worship. We were only ever designed to give worship and worship to God. Is it any wonder that our human relationships break down when we upon a fellow created? You know, if we are to have wholeness in our human relationships, it starts when our relationship with our Creator finds wholeness. When the created, you and I, understand the significance of and the intended focus of our worship. You were made by him to be with him so that you can love him. And it's only from that whole relationship with him that the capacity to love others can find its rightful place. It starts with bringing our worship back to God. Come on, we got to bring it back. That's where it starts. You see, the enemy would have you believe the age-old lie. He would have you believe the lie that went right back to the beginning. Let's go back there. Let's go back to the serpent said to the woman, and you will be like God. Come on. He wanted to elevate humanity to a godly status, that they would believe the lie that they needed to be worshipped. That's not the design. Deception comes in. He wants you to believe that worship can be redirected from its original purpose. And if he succeeds, it has the capacity to bring about the exact same response that Adam and Eve had in that moment. What happened when God came and walked in the garden in the cool of the evening? Because when we're in the presence of holiness and we've redirected our worship somewhere else, we can't be there. That's the response that comes. That's why our worship and whom we worship is so important. Why did God make you? You were made for worship, but you were made to worship Him. You've been made from Him to be with Him so that you can love Him with an open heart that adores the Creator, not the created.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.